And we're going to look at the Bible together, and we're turning to John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. The title in here is The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will become even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Well, Jesus was a master teacher. He had this way of grabbing everyday things around him and using those things to tell us about himself. The way that he was on a mission sent to give God's love and give life. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is this master teacher. He takes, you know, those boring things from everyday life and turns it into a picture of the spiritual life. And this series that we've been doing, the seven I Ams of Jesus, as recorded in John's Gospel, today we come to the seventh and the last I Am. And to help us with this, I brought something along for you today, and it is this. Okay, now I'm going to tell you something that maybe some of you don't know, and that is grapes do not grow in plastic bags. Okay, I'm just saying, all right, grapes do not just appear in plastic bags in the shops. So do not say you come along to church and you never learn anything, okay? But I say that because sometimes the everyday things for Jesus is not the everyday things for us. Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And you know, we don't live amongst vines. Jesus, you know, he lived amongst farming and culture. It was everyday thing for us. We live amongst modern suburbia with, you know, Woolworths and shopping trolleys. But it's true. These vines, let me just pick up one. These fruit, they grow on vines, don't they? You know, if you go traveling somewhere, you know, go for a winery tour perhaps, you'll see this. You'll see a beautiful row of vines. And these vines, you know, they grow on trunks. And these trunks, you know, come out of the earth. And the farmer tends those vines. And from those vines are branches and tendrils and leaves and fruit. You know, this fruit only comes to being because it grows and it has life from the vine. And we're going to be thinking about that today. As we'll see today, Jesus says things about himself and he says things about ourselves. And it's not an agricultural lesson, it's a spiritual lesson. How to have life, an eternal life. Jesus said, I am the vine, You are the branches. So let's get into this. Verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine. The key thing about Jesus' statement there is the word true. See, it's a comparison thing. He's the true vine. Because what he's doing, he's taking up a very common metaphor, image for the nation of Israel. And we read the passage before, Chris read it for us before, from the book of Isaiah chapter 5. And there's passages like that right through the Old Testament, where the Jewish people Israel are talked of being God's vine that was planted and was nurtured. And God's like this super concerned gardener who's so into this plant. He cultivates it. He cares for it. It's a picture of God's love and care for the nation of Israel. And yet, Israel turns out to be a pretty sick vine. A bit wilty, a bit spotty, not very lush. In fact, pretty rotten, actually. Not bearing any fruit. And God's like this super optimistic, hopeful, green thumb garden. He keeps showering his love and his care on this nation. Oh, this nation of Israel will one day come good. But it doesn't bear any fruit. It does not love God. As a nation, it's pretty corrupt and selfish and without justice. So Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. It's a huge thing, actually, when you think about it. You've got this sort of, you've got the Old Testament background where Israel is talked about as the vine, and then Jesus arrives, and he's just a man, but he's actually not just a man. He's the God-man, this obedient, perfect, loving, serving, sacrificial son of man, and he is what the nation was supposed to be. There was that vine. But it's fruitless. It's dead. Don't look to dead religion. Don't go back there. Go to Jesus. He is the true vine. And today we're going to see that Jesus' identity as the true vine is not something that's interesting. It's not like, oh, that's interesting. Israel, Jesus, you know, that's sort of history, that's theology, that's interesting. No, you got to know him personally, experientially. Jesus is the true vine. Are you tapping into him for life? Are you drawing on Jesus to have life? Are you bearing spiritual fruit in your life? Without connection to Jesus, everything else will not last. It does not matter. In 2019, are you tapped into and joined to Jesus? Well, let's get into the next bit. In your Bibles there, have a look at verses 1 and 2. It says there, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. The gardener here is Jesus' heavenly Father. God is the gardener. And he's a gardener with a knife. And he uses that knife for two purposes. He takes away what's fruitless and he prunes what is fruitful. But let's think about this first purpose. He cuts away what is dead. He will take away the fruitless branches and destroy them. You see this work of God also in verse 6. Have a look at Jesus' words there, verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and withers, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Fruitless branches will be assessed and removed and destroyed. You have to be in the vine. You have to be connected to the vine. Have to be connected to Jesus to draw life and bear fruit. If not, you wither. And you're removed. And you're burned up. Now, let me say something that's very important with this. This is not a test to Christians that you better start getting better. Otherwise, you're Gonski. You're judged. No, this is a word against those who aren't Christians in the first place, but who look like they are. It's a warning. If you're not one of those who truly belong to Jesus, you'll be removed and judged and destroyed. You know, in John's gospel, there's times when we discover there are those who believe but aren't true believers. There are those who are disciples of Jesus, but they're not true disciples of Jesus. I mean, take this as an example. It's on the screen. We're told, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered them, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. See, those who turn from Jesus, it says they were disciples, but they were never truly Jesus' disciples. So you can have a branch that's sort of in there, but that is not really connected to the vine. Looks like it should produce fruit, but it does not produce fruit. And God will remove them and throw them aside and judge them. You know, this is a sobering word. People who call themselves Christian. A whole church who's called a church, but is not actually bearing fruit. Sure, you can look the part, Christian activity, Christian morality. It reminds me of my parents' Christmas tree, in fact. My mum puts on her Christmas tree every year apples. Red, juicy-looking apples. Except these red, juicy-looking apples are made of plastic. They're lifeless. They're fake. It's not tapped into anything at all. It's just hanging there. Well, we could live the spiritual, impressive-looking life. Looks Christian, in some ways looks to be different from those who aren't Christian, but yet really, it's lifeless, fruitless, fake, dead, when it comes to bearing real, eternal fruit that counts for God. You have to be connected to the true vine. You have to be in Jesus. You have to be connected to him, getting life from him. You know, at this very moment when Jesus is speaking, it's his last night with his disciples there in the room with his 12 disciples, their last meal before Jesus is betrayed and put on trial and taken to the cross. You know, in the midst of these 12 disciples, in fact, there is a dead branch. There is a fruitless branch with Jesus, but not joined to Jesus, in the crowd of those with the disciples, but not really a disciple. Does anyone know who that is? Yeah, it's Judas. The gardener cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. You know, it's a tragedy of all tragedies that someone, anyone can claim to have Jesus, know Jesus. Say they're one of those who belong to Jesus, but they're not joined to Jesus. You wouldn't want to be like that, would you? Because God is the gardener. He will come and he will take away all those fruitless branches. And so the message from Jesus is, remain in me. Remain in me. Or your version actually might say, abide in me. Let's have a look at those verses. Have a look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, remain in me and I in you. Or look at the end of verse 4. End of verse 4. Produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. Or verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces fruit. I mean, this word for remain is a very normal word for remain. Like today, don't go home straight away. Remain for morning tea. Remain. Stick around. Remain. But also here, remaining is more than sticking around. It's about being joined to Jesus. A branch needs to be joined to the vine for life and growth. Without remaining in the vine, the branch can do nothing. See, the picture we're given here is not a mechanical thing. You know, tick the box, I go to church, I go to Bible study. No, this is relationship. This is joining. Are you remaining with Jesus? Have you received Jesus? Are you in Jesus? Is Jesus in you? You know, I reckon verse 3 is helpful in this. Have a look at verse 3. You know, when we read it before, did it stick out for you? It actually stuck out for me because it doesn't seem to fit. Because in the midst of all this language about vines and branches and fruit, it actually says something else. Look at verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So Jesus talks about gardening and pruning, but in the midst of it, he also talks about cleaning. You know, what's that about? It's actually a very deliberate wordplay here, in fact. In the Greek language, in the original language of the New Testament, the word for cleaning is very close to the word for pruning. In other words, they sound very similar. I'll get technical. The words are kathairo and katharos. Kathairo, katharos. So the reader, the listener, you're supposed to think that these similar sounding words actually convey a similar sort of meaning, in fact. And you ever think about this? See, with pruning, you take a plant and you take away from it, you remove it, you move from it, and you make it fit for a purpose. You prune. And when you think of it, well, cleaning in the same way, you know, as you clean, you take away the grime and the dirt, you remove from it and you make it fit for purpose. So Jesus, the true vine, is speaking to false branches, but he's also speaking to the true branches, those who belong to Jesus, who are joined to him, who are cleansed by him. You are already clean. So when you receive Jesus, when you place your trust in Jesus, have real faith in Jesus, you are clean. You are the branches joined to Jesus. So please don't think this is about bearing fruit to make yourself lovable for God. You know, bear fruit to make yourself worthy of God. No, Jesus died for you. You are clean. Don't think you have to bear fruit as a qualification to become a branch joined to the vine. You know, imagine that in a vineyard, you're walking along and there's a branch on the ground who's really trying to bear fruit so that it might be able to get into the vine. It doesn't work like that. No, to bear fruit, it's the evidence that you are a branch joined to the fruit, joined to the vine. Jesus says you are clean. So live it out. You're a branch. So remain in me. This idea of remaining is further explained along these words of Jesus. I mean, have a look at verse 7. Verse 7, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. See, to remain in Jesus is to have his words remain in us. The word of the revelation of Jesus, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the message of Savior Jesus, Master Jesus. You know, we don't read this because we have to. We read it because it's part of our relationship with God. Church, remain in Jesus. Have his words remain in you. Are you someone with habits, with patterns, to have Jesus' words remain in you? To read it so that it would be understood, so that you'd absorb it and it would nourish your heart? We need the word, the words of Jesus on our hearts as we remain in him. As we think about Jesus' words about Jesus, the true vine, and we as the branches, we're to remain in him, have a look at verses 9 and 10. And it says there, verses 9, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Again, we see remaining in Jesus isn't this mechanical thing like remain in church. And you know, to be an actual living out Christian, you have to be in church. You have to remain as a member. Remain in community. So important. Remain as a member of the body of Christ. But you could look the part on the outside of remaining in church and not be a true branch in the vine. No, to remain in Jesus, it's not the externals, it's the internals. Remain in Jesus' love. Know Jesus' love. Find joy and satisfaction in Jesus' love. As you remain in Jesus' love, you keep his commands. Keep his commands, like meet together, be in fellowship with one another. But it's the internal thing that matters, joined to Jesus in love, in faith. I want to say for anyone here who knows they're not joined to Jesus, well, receive him. Take Jesus, accept him, put your trust in him, his death in your place, and with faith in him, you're joined to him. And you get to be rescued from being thrown out and judged, and you get to bear fruit in your life, real, eternal, lasting, spiritual fruit. Come to faith in Jesus. Be joined to Jesus. Joined to the vine. Have life. It's the only way to have life. You know, these words from Jesus are big. And you've got to get your head around it. It's relational stuff. Remain in Jesus. Abide in Jesus. There's a lot going on in this passage, isn't there? But in other words, as Jesus talks to his disciples, he's the true vine. There are the branches. We are the branches. But there's also very practical application here. And that is, well, it is to bear fruit. Bear fruit. That's the message. If you're a Christian, there's supposed to be change and growth and a difference in our lives. Bear fruit. And in this passage, Jesus says at least three very practical things about bearing fruit in our lives. I'm just going to go through these three. And the first thing is this: fruitfulness comes through pruning. Fruitfulness comes through pruning. Have a look there, verse 2. Going back to verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that it'll produce more fruit. Now, we've already talked about the gardener who judges, and this is a sobering word. It's a shocking word, because Jesus is saying, people come under the knife for those he judges, but also people come under the knife for those he loves. God cuts away the lifeless, but he also cuts away for the living. That's a shocking thing, isn't it? You know, if you go visit a vineyard somewhere in wintertime, you'll see grapevines that hardly look alive. Just look woody and gnarled and just really stripped back and bare. Actually, the vine looks dead, really. And yet for the gardener, that's the pruning he has to do for the healthy vines that will produce more fruit. He has to do it. And this language of pruning, of cutting away to produce more fruit, it's the language of loving discipline to produce more fruit. Pruning is painful discipline. In another time in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it says this: endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest. In other words, fruit of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. I mean, when you're a Christian, this is what we're believing in. Hardships, they're not the sign of God's indifference, God's neglect. It's a sign of God's love. It's discipline. the hard and painful things are what God uses us, to grow our trust in Him, to grow our compassion for others. I mean, I say that, and I know it's shocking because I think of the things that some of you have gone through, grief and loss and pain. No one wishes for it. No one wants it. But you know, for some of you, you know, the most godly, patient, gospel-centered people that are in my life are the ones that I realize that have, well, God's taken a knife to you. He's disciplined you. He's loved you. And he's done a deep and cutting and growing and fruit-bearing thing in your life. In everyday ways. I know in my life, even, you know, when I'm in that low place, might be facing some disappointment in ministry, in church leadership, facing a failure of what I think I should have achieved, or maybe when I'm facing up to the failure I am as a husband. I've really stuffed things up with my pride, with my selfishness. It's amazing that when I'm in those humble places, those painful places, how then God does a work in me to grow me, to grow my trust in Him, to grow me out of my self-centeredness, to become less about me. What a thing to realize that God wants to bear fruit. It is through the internal things, being joined to Jesus, faith and love in Jesus, connected to Jesus. But it's not only the internal things, it's the external things of suffering. It's through the pruning, the disciplining work, how God uses circumstances to grow us, to make us more like Jesus. Pain and suffering, it's not a sign of God's neglect. It's how God works in a loving way to grow us. So that's the fruitfulness. That's fruitfulness and pruning. There's also fruitfulness and prayer. Let's pray that we'd bear fruit in our lives. Jesus wants us to pray in that way. Jesus says this a couple of times. Check out verse 7. Back to verse 7 we go. Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you." Or go down to verse 16. "You do not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit and that your fruit should remain. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you." You know, if you're not someone with faith, I reckon I could try a sales job on you. You know, if you become a Christian, the benefits are amazing. Just awesome. This religion will make your life so good. With God on your side, nothing's to stop you. I mean, you could sort of squint your eyes and ignore the context and sort of make out that's what Jesus is saying, I guess. God's your genie. You know, did you see in the news that someone in the US won the second highest lottery prize ever this week? Did you see the news? A guy won $1.6 billion. If God's on your side, the winning numbers just come down for you. But the thing is that if that's what you think, you're not going to become a real disciple of Jesus when you think it's about what God can do for you. No, you're going to become a real disciple of Jesus when you're actually moved, deeply moved by God's love, convinced and realized and receive that God does love you, what Christ has done on the cross for you. If you get to the point that you know that Jesus laid down His life for you, sacrificed Himself on the cross, then you'll put your trust in Jesus. And when you have this relationship with Jesus, remaining in Him, your prayer life doesn't become about fixing up your life, improving your life, getting rid of what's hard. And does our prayer life end up looking like that sometimes? It's all about removing hardship. But with Jesus, we should pray, confessing our sin, asking to be more like Jesus, asking that we'd be deeply changed and grow and bear the fruit for Him. You know, if you won $1 billion, do you think that'd be exciting? Well, I guess maybe it would be. But you could win $1 billion and God could not care. In fact, you could win $1 billion and there's a good chance you'd become very proud and arrogant and greedy and lazy and a self-centered person. That would not please God. But look at Jesus' words, verse 8, the Father is glorified that you bear fruit. You know, if we're changed to be less about ourselves and more like Jesus, if we just in a small way develop to be less greedy and less self-centered and have a stronger and clearer faith in Jesus, then the Father is glorified. He is glorified by that you produce fruit and prove to be Jesus' disciples. I do think we need reminding that answering this type of prayer is the way that the Father is really glorified. I think we need reminding, because I think the prayer we mostly hear about is asking for prayer for the sick person to be healed, for strife to be taken away. I mean, we share those prayer points on PrayerNet and on the Facebook group, and that's a good thing. That is such a good thing, we share those prayers. We want God to answer those prayers for our church family, that sickness is taken away and strife is removed. But I think we can begin to think that's God's only priority, that God's only concern. But it's not. You know, when I see a request in the prayer group about praying for someone and pray for healing, I want to pray for that. But I actually want to pray that God's will would be done and that person would know Christ's love. And in the midst of what they're going through, they'd grow in their trust and become more like Jesus. You know, God is glorified not just by working on somebody's body, but actually really by working on their heart. See, let's pray for ourselves and each other that we'd be more like Jesus. Let's pray for our character, for the way we think of others and treat others. That's what God cares about. And as we remain in Jesus and have his words remain in us, then that's what God wants in our lives. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness and prayer. And one last practical and simple outworking of remaining in the vine and bearing fruit, and it is the fruitfulness of love. See, if you've got to narrow down what actually this fruit is being produced in a Christian's life, well, what is the fruit? It is loving others. It is loving others. I mean, that's what Jesus says. I mean, let's read that section of Jesus' words here from verse 12. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I've made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. Love one another. So a fruit-bearing disciple of Jesus is someone who loves other disciples of Jesus. Am I bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? Are we a fruitful community where we love one another? You know, it's possible to fool ourselves by thinking we're fruitful, by the fact we talk about love, but are we fruitful as we demonstrate and do love? And Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. I mean, that means as I have loved you. I mean, that's loving, laying down your life, sacrifice for others. In knowing that Jesus laid down his life for us, are you and I, are we willing to lay down our life for others? It means sacrifice in time. It means sacrifice in money. It means sacrificing our energy. It'll mean sacrificing our sleep. It means you won't do what you naturally comfortably want to do for you, but you will do what it takes for others. In this last week or so at Christ Central, I've heard of people helping others move, give money, give meals, provide babysitting, provide transport, give furniture. In fact, people are giving this weekend to be with kids at Kids Weekender Camp to tell the kids about Jesus. I've heard over the Easter holidays that people are giving their weekend, their holiday time, to tell the teenagers about Jesus at the youth camp. I mean, that's so good, right? It's not a suggestion of Jesus. I think you should love one another. That'd be nice. No, it's a command of Jesus. Love each other as I have loved you. Let's do that. Let's have that fruit be born in our life, in growth groups, as we hear of those needs in Facebook group, as you hear of opportunities in this congregation, as you see of needs even on a Sunday morning as we hang out together. This should be our prayer, knowing that God wants, this is what we should want. We should pray for ourselves and our church that we would remain in Jesus and bear fruit together, fruit that will last. And what is that fruit that will last? To love one another. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Real life is found in those who remain in Jesus. You can't find life outside of Jesus. You cannot. Outside of Jesus, you will wither away. In fact, you'll be gathered up to be burned and destroyed. But to remain in Jesus, that's life. And Jesus gave life to give us, gave his life to give us life. Remain in Jesus. Receive Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. Believe in him. And let's go to bear fruit. Let's pray that we'd bear fruit. Bear fruit even through disciplining trials. Bear fruit of real sacrificial love for one another. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We're to remain in him. We're to produce fruit. And that's to the Father's glory. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we've come to you and pray. We pray in Jesus' name. And we pray for fruit. We pray for fruit to come out of our lives, that we would know Jesus, that we would know him and receive him and have our faith in him, that we'd be joined to Jesus. And as we're joined to him and know him, that we would bear fruit. Father, we pray that you would do that work in our life. Father, we pray that, well, in some ways a really scary prayer, that you would bear fruit in our lives no matter what. Because bearing fruit is to your glory. We pray that we would grow to be more like Jesus. We pray that we would grow in our trust. We pray that we'd have clear and strong trust in you. Father, please grow us. Grow us to be more compassionate. Grow us to be people who desire to sacrifice ourselves for others. Father, do whatever it takes to grow us to be more like Jesus, that we'd bear fruit in our lives. Oh, what a wonderful thing that Jesus laid down his life for us, that no greater love is that. So may we know that. And Father, may we desire to love one another. Help us at Christ Central to be a loving church. Not just in word, but in deed. That we would look for those opportunities and we would desire to lay down our lives for others. Father, to your glory, please bear that fruit in our lives. Grow us, we would ask. Thank you that Jesus, for all that Jesus is, he is the true vine. We praise Jesus. We worship Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.